Wow, that was an amazing time of worship and feasting, and the balance levels were all right. Thank you. That was really good. Thank you, guys. Also, I just want to mention that this is Sarah's last Sunday with us, right? And yeah, so she got a job with Accenture, and she'll be moving down to the Bay Area to start things off next Saturday. So, Sarah, thank you so much for serving and just for being just a great part of this community. We're going to miss you so much. Let's give her a hand. And I just want to turn your attention to a couple things today. Hopefully you got some of those emails that we're kicking off our Trellis Discipleship. And there are really, if you turn to the middle of your bulletin, there's the Knowledge Trellis, and Pastor Tung's going to teach that. It's 8 or 9 weeks, very intense, getting into just centering on the cross. And I think this is such a great follow-up to Easter, to just continue to focus really on the cross, because, I mean, everything flows really, really from there, our relationship with God and how we live and so forth. And so we're just going to just really focus in on that particular topic. And then Alicia and maybe some others are going to be leading downstairs in the fellowship hall. The practice trellis, and remember, that's just about how do we actually connect with God. Sometimes our relationship with God, it feels so superficial sometimes. And so how do we actually really, really connect and have that intimate relationship with God that people talk about? And this is one of the ways, is through praying God's word. So that's going to be in the fellowship hall. And then Jesus on Leadership, I'm teaching that class. It's actually closed already. It was given out to people who are in core staff or people who are maybe leading missions and things like that. So that class is actually filled up. So there's really only two. So go choose one of those. They're both going to be really, really good classes. Continue to pray for Stephanie. She's just got one last week, and then she'll be back. And also China Technology Team. Fundraiser this weekend, and you can still drop your computers off. Where should they drop them off at?
B4.
Okay, B4. All right, B4. Sounds good. Well, I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Ho is going to lead us in today's message. All right, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, we do pray, Father, that it's your glory, Lord, that has come, Lord, to this earth. It's your glory, Lord, that is seen throughout the earth, Lord, through creation, through acts of love and kindness, through your church. And we pray, Father, that through just each of our lives, Lord, as we sing, as we act, as we serve, as we work, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, that your glory somehow, in some way, in some measure, can be seen through us, Lord. And not just in spectacular ways, Lord, but even more so, being the kind of person you are, Father, which is humble. May your glory be seen, Father, through the humility and meekness, Lord, that we exhibit in serving and loving others, Lord. We do pray, Father, for Sarah as we send her off, and ask, Lord, that you bless her and that you would give her a heart of just courage to just continue to explore and to just give everything, Lord, for her work and just starting a new life there, Lord. May she worship and glorify you, Lord, through all of that. And we thank you, Father, for every person here this morning, Lord. You have us here, Lord, for a reason, for a purpose, Lord, through this study in Ecclesiastes. Continue to speak in our lives as Pastor Ho comes and gives your word. In Christ's name we all pray. Amen. Amen, church. Let's give Pastor Ho a big hand as he comes up this morning.
Verse 1 in chapter 12.
what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will be it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seeds in the morning, and at the evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, but know that all of these things God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. This morning, the message is me. Why? Because I was proactive to suggest myself to Pastor Roy and Tang to join their serious preaching on Ecclesiastes. Why the message is me? Because I want to seize every opportunity to go deeper into the book and practice English in the pulpit. That's what verse 1 and 2 teach me. Seize every opportunity. Cast your bread upon the water. Seize every opportunity to use your talents, your gifts, God's given gifts, to exercise. In the future, there is disaster. I want to prepare myself to take up ministry that need me to use English, maybe in Asia, maybe in Beijing. You know, Beijing's people love to hear English on the pulpit, not Mandarin, not Cantonese. So I want to seize every opportunity. That's what this message teaches us. We have chapter 11 on hand. You know, Ecclesiastes is a very profound yet practical book. The first sentence of chapter 12 clearly brings out the whole book's purpose. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. It's interesting to note that Eugene Peterson translated remember, the word remember, into two words, enjoy and honor. I think it's normal to honor God, but it seems strange for us to enjoy God because we get used to enjoy materials, enjoy things. How do we remember God in terms of both honoring and enjoying the Creator? Is it just a kind of thinking of Him once a while in our devotional time or a Sunday service? Other than thinking of Him in Sunday worship, or what else do we do in order to honor Him and enjoy Him? In his famous article called Why Asia American Christianity Has No Future, it's presented by a very famous young Asian theologian called Jonathan Strong. Next slide. Jonathan Strong, this young guy. He's a famous Asian theologian in that age and in this generation. He said, next paragraph, my fear is not that Asian American church has no concern for the future, but rather that its interests are so focused on the future that has little concern for the past. It simply lacks a path sufficient for its survival. In recent years, as the Asian American church has become so captivated with a certain kind of future, a certain kind of survival, So interest in innovation and new things, such as new worship building pews, styles, that it has sold its soul in order to purchase a future that will prove unequal to its calling. It has traded in the past its history, its constitution as a tradition, and in doing so has left behind the treasurable resources. However, how come the Asian American church acts over like this? I think one of the reasons is that they don't really understand the beauty of our Christian heritage and the positive side of our Asian tradition, Asian culture. Once we dig this out, we will be amazed at the beauty and richness of Christian heritage and cherish the brilliant side of our Asian cultures. But this needs tremendous work of open-mindedness, a broad mind of appreciation, and hard-nosed effort to look into them. But a sad phenomenon here, today's people want everything abridged, dumbed down, simplified. And in today's jargon, we don't have to think too much or examine our life too closely. People rather let the past be the past. They really seek only for fulfillment of self-indulgence, personal freedom, more than anything else. Anything that has a little bit of old style, not current, does not interest us. This includes especially our Christian heritage and our Asian identity. According to Dr. Tang, we don't know where to build on without these things. We lack a path sufficient for our future survival. Guys, if we are not willing to appreciate God's given gifts, included our traditions and our Asian heritage, we don't bother to touch them. We just leave them behind, simply put them off. Perhaps because we have allowed our unconcern and ignorance dampen our ambition, courage, and desire, and curiosity. We rather lock ourselves up in a set ways to stick to the unknown areas. To many of our young people, Christian heritage and our Asian identity are the unknown and undesirable realms. They have no guts to explore them. So today I want to set up, let me as an example. English to me is a foreign language. I seldom speak on the pulpit, so I seize this opportunity. Lest one day the evil days come, this disaster come, I cannot manage to do that, to serve our Lord. Ecclesiastes 11 tells us that a Christian most basic ministry is ministry of worship. Ministry of worship is not performance of worship, only in Sunday worship. I say that again. Ministry of worship is not a performance of worship only in worship, Sunday worship. The ministry of worship touches issues such as two important questions. How do we live in a godly life in order to give thanks to our Lord? How do we live in a godly life? It's a basic worship. Second, how do we live wisely so that we would not waste our time but see our life as God's gift? Because wasting our life, time, and energy and God-given gifts such as tradition and identity is an act to dishonor God. So having a life that can honor and enjoy God is considered to be basic in our Christian life, in our Christian ministry. But what kind of life is this? This piece of wisdom passage is very practical. It urges us first, be courageous to create a godly new way of tapping your gifts. As you know, I mentioned before, the literal meaning of emptiness or vanity is breath or wind. But the name Abel is graphic more than all other words. It's close to the original meaning. Abel died in his youth and vanished in a ridiculous way. Therefore, the root meaning of vanity is short and absurd. It means that it's something we cannot grasp whole in our life. But here the preachers point out that not only our life is short, it is also full of hardship, illness, aging, and finally, we cannot escape death. I think there's a portrait in the slide. I want to show that guy. It's a portrait. Okay, this one. I want you to look at it 10 seconds to see what different on the face of this guy. What is the difference? It's not normal in a usual face. Just 10 seconds and change another life. Slice. Okay, that's it. Emptiness showed in this face. It said, if you cut it in two half, you will see one is a young guy and the other is more old guy. Cut it in half. So this portrait illustrates that lives gradually change. Life is aging, and you will not notice. Once you notice that you are old, it's very old. So this reminds us life is so short. Life is full of hardship, absurdity. All these things make life even shorter and miserable. In verse 1 and 2, the preachers use a very interesting illustration from the business terms current in the old days to exhaust us in some funny way. Cast your bread upon the water and give portion to 7, to 8, for you do not know what disaster, what evil days may come upon the land. So before unfavorable situation occur, when there is still peace, invest your talents, strength, intelligence in a proper way. Experience tells us that though we hope to accomplish a lot in our short life, sooner or later you will find that there is not an easy way to carry out all that you desire. Even though we know there will be something wrong going on in our life, even you know, you predict it, we are still unable to avoid its happening. Now we know that what means by you don't know what disaster may come upon the earth. For this reason, I notice that some Christians are frightened to confront the reality in life. They rather bury themselves in activities that can help them to escape the reality, like indulging in computer games, drinking, eating, having the mischievous life. Others, more spiritual, are burying them just in church work without looking at the real world outside. I'm not discouraging you from serving the church. However, we are not using church activities as an excuse from tapping our God-given gifts or talent to serve this generation. Cast your bread upon the water stand for overseas trading. In those days, engaging the investment is very dangerous because cargo went overseas by ships and cargoes. They would have robbed by robbers. They would destroy all of the goods destroyed in the sea, buried in the sea, swollen by the sea. Maybe total loss when you invest. However, symbolically there also will be some chances that they may be washed ashore and attract lots of fish, resulting in a big catch. The preachers here use foreign trade to illustrate a point that although greater risk is taken, be patient, given time, there will be profitable results. So be brave like me and positive like me this time. I seem like taking an English preaching examination here now. Be positive when we make this investment, even risk may be involved. Don't sum up by saying, it's too hard for me, too hard for me. Make as many attempts as possible, because you have, especially you are young, received many gifts from God. The preacher said clearly, give portion to 7 and 8, which means that don't put all the eggs in one single basket, lest all of them would be broken. That is, do not depend on one casting of our talents. Do not refuse to develop new goals, new directions, new interests. Do not stubbornly insist on our lack of resources. It is only when we make attempt to look for ways to be productive, we find that we are able to excel and exercise the talents that God has given us. If you want success, you need to take action. Struggle positively, using all the resources you have. Nothing venture, nothing gain. You may not know when your investment will give you a return, but you need to invest anyway, because you don't know what will happen in the future. Second point, be consistent to pursue your highly quality and godly dream. Don't allow either bad or good condition manipulate our lives. We know water and wood are tremendously important to the farmers in the old days, even nowadays. Verses 3-6 is a picture that describes the frame of mind and anxiety a farmer faces in his career. If the crowd full of water, then we expect rain. But when will this rain fall upon our land or others' land? Nobody knows. When a tree falls, we cannot predict which way it will lie. All these indicate that things are beyond our ability to control. So the preacher urged us in the verse 4, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. It means that don't allow either good or bad conditions manipulate our lives. Don't be too fussy or too calculating, too narrow-minded about your return. Don't be anxious over whether the rain or tree or wood should fall upon our fields. We, in fact, cannot expect things to favor us all the time. Yes, we may sign that favorable situation even occur to somebody else, not me. We have to accept the fact that wherever the rain and the wood fall upon, in any situation, someone will benefit from it. Learn to be a man of blessing. Bless those who obtain good things. Why shouldn't we be too fussy? Because being too fussy will surely cause us to lose sound judgment and the courage to attempt new things. Verses 4 remind us that good circumstances do not necessarily guarantee success. On the contrary, bad situations would arouse our fighting will, our will to fight. If we think that we need all the appropriate knowledge and experience before we venture into anything, then I can tell you, you won't accomplish anything. I can guarantee. You do things, stick to the good condition. So put yourself wholeheartedly in what you do. Verse 6, morning, ripped your seats. Evening also continues to do that. Morning symbolizes favorite conditions, evening adversity, which means that don't allow both kind of situation manipulate us. Even though there are many things we don't understand, we still try to work hard. No matter what the circumstances is, don't despair within our scope of understanding. Our understanding is so limited, so narrow. Do our utmost to bear our responsibility. What do we mean by within our scope of understanding? It means that everything is in the control of God's hand. God works, we work. While we work, God works too. So allow a little bit mysterious for God. Because he rules our lives, we can have his invisible power in our life. We may not work like the farmers who cultivate crops, but we can be those who cultivate ideas, hopes, and goals. Take me as an example. I'm one of the experts in the Christian aesthetics. Aesthetics is a rare discipline in the Christian circle. Nobody's like me. Step on one side, theology, Christian theology, and the other side is art, visual art, aesthetics, theory. This is my new adventure, my new direction, my new attempt to develop God's given gifts in my life. So I cultivate these ideas for many, many years, just like a farmer. Cultivate crops. So you can do it also. Cultivate your new ideas for God, not for you only. Your goals, your hope, making our idea into reality. It only requires our effort, watering, before success is achieved. When a person has aims and hopes, one will combine meaning and worth in your life. I want you to guess who's the next slide. Who this guy is? Who is this guy? His life is so rugged. His life is so rugged that I can tell you he failed in business. He defeated for legislature and again failed in business next year. Next year, elected to fail, just elected to be elected. And his wife died, had a nervous breakdown, defeated for speaker, defeated for elector, defeated for Congress, elected once again, just twice, and defeated for senator. And finally, he was a president. Who is it? Who was it? Yeah, next. A lot of failures in his life. Gloomy life, sad life. But he continues to develop, to contribute himself. So Thomas Edison, a famous inventor, once said, success is 1% of intellectuals' intelligence and 99% of sweating a lot. Thirdly, reverse the slide. Be content to enjoy God's presence in every moment of your life. Someone said this generation lacks understanding of what real happiness is. The happiness that they want has always to do with frenzy and immoral sexual behavior or wicked acts. The preacher points out that the happiness is a pure and peaceful state of mind. But what is the outcome of such a state of mind? He gave us the following insights. First, in verses 7 to 8, to see life as astonishment. Light is life. Life is sweet and beautiful. It is good for you to use your eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, that is to say, we may have lots of weaknesses, but let us not hate ourselves. We should determine our sense of importance. We need to use what we should use to measure up our self-esteem. Using what to build up our self-esteem? Using your future's old age, your old image. What we now may be incomparable to others, or there may be physical hindrance, weakness in ourselves, but at least young guy, you are still young. You are so young now. Don't squander wasting your time. You need to imagine a situation when you are old as a reminder for living in the present day. The whole chapter of 12 would be this snapshots of aging to remind us one day we will be old enough and be paralyzed enough in everything. We don't have any desire and power to do anything. Use the old age situation to remind ourselves that I should love life and give glorious life to honor God now in the present, because he gives me such a wonderful, mysterious creation, my body, my mind, and my spirit. So right now, you should shout by saying that if you are really young. I think if you are 60-something, you're still young, because nowadays people lived up to 90s or 100s. We have a member in Chinese congregation, 93 now, 93, 94. So if you now are 70, it's still young. Using your 20 years in the future, developed your talent, your experience to serve God. Use old age situation, because God gave us a wonderful body, wonderful mind. Shout, it's great and sweet to have the light of days of my youth, without white hairs like me, without fake face, sucky skins, and wrinkles. Thanks God about that. Why is that God's going to judge us in the verse 9? Judgment is not a terrible word. It's a concerning love. It's an expression of love and concern. God wants to judge you. He's concerned about you. So you have to answer him every last bit of your life. All that we did, we say, we gain, or we lost, we're accountable to God. God's love for you is deep and expected so much from you. Therefore, he will be, be willing to enjoy God's daily and accept his discipline. Let God's standard be your standard. Accept his righteousness and holiness. In other words, true happiness is when you are able to make our daily life accountable to God, holy God. True happiness and holiness are inseparable. To live holy means to live up to our calling daily. Guys, Christian spirituality is assessed daily. Yesterday's success is not just set there without further development. Our success or accomplishment should build up another significant thing for the Lord in the future. God wants to reappraise our worth in terms of living up our God-given life. Do not let our past spiritual success comfort ourselves today. Do not rely the goodness in the past to elevate us. However, don't live in another extreme. Do not stumble in self-pity or hate yourselves. The way we live today will determine how we will live tomorrow. Do not leave the past in the present. Be positive to face struggles and evil. This does not encourage us to leave the good old legacy in our faith and overreact our Christian tradition. That doesn't mean that. It does mean that we need to stand firm in respect and enjoy the life which God has given us on daily basis. Let us praise God more often, because praise and worship by means of living with what God desires us to live is a basic service to God. The worth of life is immeasurable, just like the cosmos. Each one of you created by God uniquely Each one of you have a unique life different from the one who sits beside you. We will never know the limit of our firmness, our power, the depth of our strength and perseverance. Though we will never know how much we can able to learn, to use, to give, how much we may love, forgive, and how will we express ourselves, how may you use your talent, unless, just like me, attempt to do that. Take action. Don't just sit there and think about you're so great, you have such and such talent, and will be such and such great man and great woman. Not just think of that. Just step further into the field. Go there. Action. Take action. What has God equipped you to do? Next slide. Are you doing it? What have you devoted yourself to do? Remember, God is not impressed by the might of a horse, nor in the strength of a man. But the Lord's delight is in those who fear, who worship Him, enjoy Him, live up the life He has given you, a unique creation. You are a unique creation, each one of you, in those who wait upon God's favor. The theme, honor and enjoy God, echoes the last verse, echoes the verse 13 in chapter 12. I want to read it as a conclusion. The theme, honor and enjoy God, echoes verse 13 in chapter 12. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of human being. Let's bow down. Have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us so unique. Each one of us have a unique life. Though we know that a lot of disaster will come in the future, but grant us encouragement, wisdom, strength, and preparation, and a willing heart to work hard on our lives, to see your will, to abide by your wills, so that you are our Lord and be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.